super beau.
Là on le voit, tu vois la limite.
Mais t'as pris de la drogue ou quoi?
Santiago.
J'ai pris là, ça va, c'est exactement pareil, tu vois. Tu te mets là, on dirait des choses.
Quoi? Non mais tu vois les gris. Les gris des.
Je prends une clope, Bruno.
Non, il est plus foncé que le ciel.
Légèrement.
Tengo frío. No oigo nada. Tengo frío, sí, sí, sí. Mucho frío. Un frío horrible.
¿Tú vas bien? ¿Tú vas bien? ¿Va bien?
Faut que ça se répète, mes amis, parce que si ça se répète pas, ça marche pas. 40 secondes. Milena's track, Virus in Amore, is 3 minutes 20 seconds. That is 200 seconds. I imagine the starting point for this presentation will be a 10-time loop of Virus in Amore. There is no reason in multiplying something by 10, let alone the duration of a music track, if it's not to serialize it. Recorded sound, no matter how irregular and unorthodox and improvised and unwritten and asymmetrical and experimental, that is, no matter how non-repetitive, recorded sound of any kind can be played back over and over and thus be serialized. Piero Umiliani's Virus in Amore times 10 equals 2,000 seconds. 2,000 divided by 60 is an infinite number, 33.33333333, infinitely. It's like a stutter. A minute cannot say its name unless it starts speaking in seconds. Virus in Amore goes, in fact, on forever. It happened to me. I mean, it really happened to me, this infinity of Virus in Amore happened to us. I mean the repetition, or rather its impossibility. We were having dinner in the kitchen of a shared apartment in Berlin. We had the track playing for an hour straight without knowing it was looped onto itself. We made love several times, talked, smoked. We had been given a grid unknowingly. Let's say we were transmitting. We were making physical radio, not only audible radio, but tactile, gustative, visual, everything radio, radio everything. Radio tutto. Radio, no repetition. Recording, all repetition. The flow of memory is there to be interrupted. The Fibonacci series, which appears as a model for exponential growth, and for such numerous vegetal things as the structure of sunflowers, pine cones, pineapples, I would even say artichokes, responds to a single rule. Numbers grow by adding the previous number to the current one, thus obtaining the next. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144, 233, 377, 687, 610, 987, 1,597, etc. As explained by Leonard Smith in his very short introduction to Chaos, the Fibonacci series reflects how a growing set evolves in time, thus providing the model for the idea of a time series. If we think that numbers in the Fibonacci series don't change, we can consider the series as structure. In other words, we visualize the structure through the numbers, but we can encounter it as well in physical world compositions growing in cumulative segments, but also spirals, that is, exponentially. Look at those wall sculptures made by Judd to suggest this kind of exponential organization. I like to think of the Fibonacci series in terms of insisting repetitive acceleration, but it is also a model for obsessive fixated deceleration. We can use the Fibonacci series in our infinite growing orgasmic impulses, never ecstatic, as well as in our increasingly thicker torpor, never totally still. And in these two ways, a curve approaches the number without ever reaching it. Leonard Smith speaks of four different kinds of behavior for time series, and I quote, they can, one, grind to a halt and more or less repeat the same fixed number over and over again. Two, bounce around in a closed loop like a broken record, periodically repeating the same pattern, exactly the same series of numbers over and over again. Three, move in a loop that has more than one period and so does not quite repeat exactly but comes close, like the moment of high tide drifting through the time of the day. Or four, forever jump around wildly, or perhaps even calmly, displaying no obvious pattern. The fourth kind looks random, yet looks can be deceiving. End of quote. After transcribing this passage, my copy of the book disappeared, as it were, lost in transcription. I remember attending two consecutive performances of Steve Paxton, knowing that he would not exactly repeat his movements. We are both terrified by the idea of forgetting each of these precious seconds. We haven't experienced anything like this before. This love has given us an intensified sense of time. A week together has just gone by in our second month of relationship. Our relationship started since the very first second we saw each other. We remember it, doubtless, as clearly, it's very cold here, as clearly as the following days. Today is the seventh day since her last visit. She arrived at the airport on Friday at 5:40 p.m., and once again she asked me not to come pick her up, and I said fine. Once again, I went to the airport and she found me a few steps away from the bus stop, as if she had come pick me up instead at the city I live in. At the beginning, everything was very choreographic between us, and it still is, especially in what concerns airports. The first thing we did after meeting up was to go buy an adapter for the video projector I had received the day prior. A projector for the bedroom. After leaving her luggage at home, we had some glasses of wine out at a bar, and then we went to the apartment and cooked. We talked at length. Then we connected the projector in front of the bed, and we watched nothing at all. Saturday, we consumed the morning in bed. We had late lunch at the cafe. We drank those fantastic beers. We shopped at the supermarket. Made a very simple, excellent dinner. I will skip the details. I hate not remembering what we had for dessert, though. Maybe nothing. I must ask her. Maybe she remembers. I want to spend at least 3 hours with her, remembering at least the best moments of every single day of that week. I can't find another pastime if I am not with you. Another past time. Saturday night, we finished the bottle of Chacolí and we started watching Sotto il Segno dello Scorpione. We managed to start, and after 20 minutes, we made love, and there were little and great incidents at night and other nights. If I must remember one of her gestures among so many beautiful ones, it is that endless look full of sympathy and trust and understanding she gave me one afternoon after we stopped pretending we were taking a nap. When she looks that way, she doesn't talk, but I feel she can speak all languages and I can learn any of them. Sunday morning was similar. We left the house well into the afternoon. I hate not remembering what we had for breakfast. And we went up to the city mountain. images are very vivid and I don't need to report on this, so easy it seems to recollect. Particularly her fright when entering the funicular and the cigarettes we smoked while hugging on a bench. They are simply unforgettable, perfect, as if made up. I could summarize a bit. Everything is a summary, even perception, even perfection. The photographs remember the way she was dressed, and I do too in a different way. The black clothes and the movement almost comical, almost cosmical, of her hips when walking. We walked once again back to the house, and once again we cooked and drank and finished the movie and fucked in ardor and generosity and admiration and surprise. From Monday onward, as I resumed office duty, my memory starts behaving in a more functional way. Through sorting and listing, eliminating duration from events and moving them into kinds of actions, filling the structure of days. For instance, there is the category of breakfasts. I remember the various times we made coffee and tea almost as a collection, and I can study the differences and the ways. I can build a great archetypal model of how we have breakfast. We listen to music daily, not necessarily on the radio. As I go through the afternoon sets, things become more complicated. In fact, it is easy to feel pulled out by the singularity of one event I cannot and do not want to keep in any group. An event we only may recognize as such. Nothing special to you all. But you know what I mean. I don't like it when memory makes piles of things. She cooked for me the last evening, and it was such a delicate sequence of small catastrophes. Again, the food gets no attention in the end, like movies, for they are less interesting than us setting up the situation and talking about what we could do and then doing something else. I don't like remembering my moments of lousy mood, but what the hell? We have to learn forgiving ourselves. I don't like remembering life before you. But what the hell, too? Tell those guys to shut up. Fuck. Knowing that everything is forgivable is way more difficult than knowing that everything is forgettable. We deeply want to forgive. We deeply want not to forget. And yet the excess of memory also makes us blind. Our youth before is not the same as our youth now. There is no rectification and no revenge. I hear a drone continuously like her name continuously like a drone, a word with no beginning and no end. We know well about the brain's difficulties to hear a drone without turning it into a looping pattern. Hence my account of these days, as an example of that spiraling simultaneously inward and outward. We are told that those who forget quickly are also the first to repeat themselves. They live in the closest loop. There is a politics implied in their relation to time, and there is a chronology, a certain idea of time, implied in their relation to politics. For us too, time isn't neutral. Our anarchism is an anachronism. What I called a few months ago an anachronism. I repeat myself, uncertain as I am, whether the time of rehearsal is over or not. Living is a form of trial and error. With this, we come to the closing of our first loop. There are impossible repetitions, for instance, love letters. With this, we have entered the 0.33333 part of this loop. Let's now make an exercise. I am closing my eyes. Close yours. Now listen to the friction of time on the record grooves. The song is a large circle with no beginning or end. You are seeing it from an airplane traveling through a region of lakes, woods, and marshes. Everything is blackish. The blues, the greens, and the browns. We are on board of a hydroplane. Its carcass is red and white. It is beautiful. Its engines are buzzing intensely. Every minute, a revolution. Every second, a revolution. The sound of the propellers is a mechanical meditation on electricity, on growth, on persistence, on approaching, on being hidden.